Parents, is your teen college ready? Are you feeling overwhelmed, stressed out, or excited about your teen applying to college? Do you know what colleges are looking for? And if your kid gets in, do you know what you'll pay for it? College admission has never been so competitive or expensive. Shelley Howard will take you on a journey to help you and your teen get college ready. Now here's your host, Shelley.
Well, hello, listeners. This is Shelley Howard from College Ready, and the podcast is Parents, Is Your Teen College Ready? Today, I have an amazing guest to share with you, Ms. Jackie Bailey, who is an international conversation coach for kids. Oh my gosh, talking to kids, what a big job that can be. So please welcome Jackie. I also, before we got on the call, learned about a new book that was just released. Can you share with our listeners a little bit more about that?
Yes. Hi, Shelley. Hello, listeners. I would love to tell you about a book that I am blessed to be a contributor to. There are 21 authors in this book called No Problem Parenting, Raising Your Kiddos with More Confidence and Less Fear. And wow. In my chapter, I talk about literally how to communicate with your kids, your teens, even college age adolescents, you know, or adult children, and how to make those conversations more impactful.
That I think every parent wishes would be a little bit easier. Right. If you have multiple children, you realize it's not just you, the parent, that's the different children and how they receive the information that you're sending. So maybe you can talk a little bit more about conversation and the different ages and stages, because I know that sometimes, right, when they're little, they think we're a hero. By the time they're a teenager, we don't know very much. And so maybe you can help the listener who's going, well, I have one of that kind and I have one of this kind. What tricks or information can you share?
Well, I can tell you that I'm not sure the age of your child makes too much of a difference as far as communication skills in conversation. Certainly, there's going to be different words that you use based on their ability to understand and their maturity level. However, when it comes to basic conversation skills, all children can benefit when certain rules are applied. I'll back up for just a second and say that many parents contact me because we provide public speaking courses for kids and teens. And when parents find out about us and they become interested, of course, they've got questions. And some of the big challenges they tell me they face is that their kid just doesn't talk to them. Or when they ask them a question, it's a grunt of an answer, or it's just a good or a fine, sure. Right?
Yeah.
And what I've noticed is, based on what my students have told me, they don't feel like their parents are listening to them. And so when they're asked a rote question like, hey, how was your day? Kids know that mom or dad probably going to be texting someone at the same time that they're giving their answer, and they're not going to feel listened to. Mm-hmm. And so they've actually, in many cases, been trained to give that grunt or one word answer, because if they went into long details, knowing parent isn't listening, you know, mm-hmm. It's kind of a waste. So asking good conversation really starts with asking the right questions.
Okay.
And those questions might be different based on age group, but they're all basically the same, which is get your child to say something more than yes or no. So instead of saying, hey, how was your day? Maybe you could ask a question instead like, what was the best part of your day today? Mm-hmm. That gets them to be thinking about something specific. Now, when they answer a question like that, not only are you going to get a little bit of information about them, about what makes them happy, and you're going to know what motivates them, but if you actually listen to what they're saying, you might find that there's some challenges happening elsewhere that you weren't aware of as well. asking the right kinds of questions will give you the information that perhaps you are looking for as a parent.
Yeah. So I have 5 teenagers that I have raised, 2 boys, 3 girls, and even girls versus boys, mm-hmm. I would say, generalizing, of course, will communicate differently. And so I truly get when I'm coaching students, I don't ask them yes or no. I ask them to share, you know, their favorite teacher and why.
Right.
So it's I care enough to ask the question with a follow-up and then help them understand, did I hear that correctly? You like this because of that. And then they feel like, wait, she's really listening to me.
Exactly.
So I think that is so incredible. I'm actually giving a presentation in 2 weeks on critical communication. And so I'm listening as somebody who's like, this is good stuff. I can use this in my presentation. What about when, you know, if a family was in a divorce situation, right? They have 2 households. Now they're communicating differently in different households.
Mm-hmm.
What is the best way to help them bridge that gap? I know I'm a stepmom to 2. And when they come back to our home, we kind of have to reintegrate, right? Versus, oh yeah, just like no big deal. Is there some advice you can give to help that student bridge that gap to be able to have that kind of communication that we're looking and so want for our family?
That's a really good question about a very specific scenario. And I've been there as well. I'm a child of 2 divorced parents. And I would say that the same rules apply in any situation, and that is that your children, no matter how young or how old, need to know that you actually have interest in what they're doing and how they're feeling about things. And so I would suggest that we refrain from speaking at our kids so much. If you think about all of the sentences or phrases that come at them through the day, don't forget your lunch, get your backpack, make sure you turn in your homework. And they're all statements and they're not really engaging questions. Mm-hmm. And if we do that once they come home, let's say from a visit with the other parent, and we say, don't forget to put your things away, put all your dirty clothes in the hamper, things like that. If we start making those statements at them rather than say, oh, well, so what did you do over the weekend that was really fun? Mm-hmm. Or did you watch any movies with mom, dad, or did you go somewhere you hadn't been before? Tell me about that. Mm-hmm. You know, what was the best part of the weekend? Were there any times when you felt homesick or sad? And what was happening when you were feeling that way? Just little questions like that, I think, matter in any situation.
Mm-hmm.
But then the important part is put your phone down.
Mm-hmm.
Make eye contact with your child as you're talking to them and maintain that eye contact as much as you can. And listen, actively listen for words that they say that can then be used to reply back to them. Because if they say, oh, yeah, we went to the zoo and I saw some elephants, da 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 da. If you return your reply with, oh, how many elephants did you see? Or were they baby elephants or adult elephants? What else did you see at the zoo? If you use some of those words back to them, first of all, they're going to know that you actually listened, but you're also going to be able to perpetuate the conversation and perhaps in time pull out more information from them. Mm-hmm. So that we can, with the always the objective to a conversation is find out something that you is interesting or that you didn't know before about that person,
mm-hmm.
or find the story, find the experience that they've had that either they've learned from or you can be inspired by yourself. Mm. And if we're always talking to people with that objective, then we're always going to find something good. We're always going to find something interesting. And that also builds empathy,
right?
Because we come to learn that everyone has a valuable story to share and everybody is worth hearing and worth listening to because they've got something that will inspire us.
Love that. I'm writing that down. That's good stuff. So, you know, as I work with students, as they prepare, we start students sometimes as young as seventh grade, start really having conversations about college, not what are you going to major in? Where do you want to, like, they're not ready for that. But we can dive into what are their core values, their gifts, their talents, those things that really matter to them. And I think the sooner we start leaning into that, the more they're going to want to communicate, because we're now saying we care. And that's a great place to be. But for students who I pick up, maybe their senior year, and the parents are saying, you must be this, this, or this. And the student is saying, but that's not what I want to be. Mm-hmm. How do you bridge that gap in that situation? Because it's a real one. I mean, it happens probably weekly in my world. When I'm on a call with a parent and a student, I'll ask them, what's most important, academic fit, social fit, or financial fit? What do you think the student is going to say?
Well, they're probably going to say academic, because that's what the expectation is from the parent. That's what I would guess.
Yeah. The brave ones will say social fit first.
Yeah.
That's where the braveness comes in. If they're not so brave, they're going academic.
Yeah.
But they're never talking about the financial fit, because that's a scary topic that nobody covers. My last guest just made financial literacy fun. And it was brilliant how he did it, with games and really cool positive reinforcement. And I'm like, oh, I wish I would have had that when I was a kid. In my house, everybody was all bummed out when the bills came. Like, so it was wonderful. But so I get these families who are stressed out and overwhelmed, and they find me, you know, maybe their senior year, and they want me to put it all together, which I'm super happy to do, but there's a lot of conflict that hasn't been talked about. Yeah. And College Ready's mission is to help students get into the best fit college and to get out without debt. So we're not just about you're good at math, good at MIT. Right. We're really about the whole student. So knowing that, could you help my listeners maybe give them a few, I don't know, pointers or thoughts on the best way to broach the subject of is it an academic fit? Is it a social fit? Is it a financial fit? Because that is a conversation that I'm seeing is a very difficult one for families to have.
Yeah. Thank you for raising that question, because we often feel that it is just the academics that will help prepare our kids for the next phase. But without social confidence and without the social skills, especially those that give them confidence to stand on their values, as you say, so that they don't get wishy-washy and blown all over the place when it comes to issues that they're going to encounter once they're out on their own, they're not going to know where they fit. And so we have a program for college prep kids, high school and early college, and we teach them how to identify their values and experiences they've had that have taught them those values. And then we walk them through several exercises that help them to know what perhaps their core value is at this time. And of course, you and I know that our values change. My values are much different now than they were when I was 16, of course. But for a snapshot in the moment of where do they stand now, what is the most important value to them, and why is that important? What experiences have you had that have taught you that honesty is important, or determination is the key to success, or that you need to have peace to feel your real and true self, whatever it might be. Once they can identify that and they've had some skills in conversation and how to contribute to social situations, then they go to school feeling so confident and so sure of themselves that the academics is sort of secondary to that. Because now they go, yeah, I understand math, or I understand engineering, but now I also have the social skills where I feel like I could talk to anybody about those things. Whereas before, they just had the knowledge without necessarily the ability to really voice why that was important to them, why it's important, or even what their goals are in going into that particular field or taking those courses or whatever the case might be.
Mm-hmm.
And so we find that most of our students, in fact, I was just coaching a young lady yesterday who's working on her college applications. And one of the requirements is to create a 2-minute video introducing herself, a little bit about who she is, what kind of person she is, what she enjoys doing. And for many students, that's a difficult challenge mm-hmm. because they don't feel like they've had these really life-changing experiences that give them anything to talk about.
Mm.
But they do. They just don't recognize it as a big deal.
Right.
And so when we go through our exercises and help them discover those things and pull those ideas out and pull out those lessons that have taught them and shape them to be who they are,
mm-hmm.
it's like it's a big eye-opener for them. And they realize, yeah, you know what? I did have that experience. I didn't realize at the time, but it did teach me to do this. And so that's why I do that. And because I do that, then I have this success or I get this outcome out of it. And they can trace this back and we can see these are the things I did to be successful. These are some of the things I did that maybe created outcomes I didn't particularly like. So I'm going to avoid these and I'm going to continue working on these values, these goals, the things that I know have given me success in the past. I'm going to keep using those.
Right.
Until you lay those out and you can see, oh yeah, these are the things that make me successful. They really don't know. They really don't know. But once they do know, it's amazing.
For sure. As I think about, as they transition through all of this, a client comes to mind, and the challenge is there was never great communication early on. And now the parent is understanding they're leaving soon. And I really want to kind of fix this. And but the student is not on board with fixing this.
Right.
How do you help that teenager and that parent reconnect?
That is not an easy situation. And I've seen what you're talking about. And so I understand exactly the mindset of the parent, but I also understand the mindset of the teenager or the young adult going, you know, I just want to leave now. You know, I'm adult. I can make my own choices. I don't have to sit and listen to you. It can be hard. And it's not going to be something that is going to be cured in one question mm-hmm. or one conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But it's something that now, if the damage has been done, so to speak, and maybe it's not really damage, but it's something that you want to reverse or correct.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, it's going to take some time for you to prove that you actually do want to listen to what's being said and that you actually care, that you actually have this concern for them or want to chat with them. And sometimes we as parents aren't willing to share our own vulnerability. Because we want our kids to obey the rules. And so if we let them see that we haven't always obeyed the rules, then they're going to be apt to disobey the rules because they're going, well, you did. Mm. But that's not always the case. I think if parents are, if they let themselves just get real and just say, you know what, can I tell you a little bit about my college experience? Or can I tell you a few things that you might encounter while there and how for me, it was a real struggle until I figured out how to do it. Would you mind if I just shared a few ways that I found were helpful to me? Mm-hmm. I think if you broach something like that and get their permission, you've got to get their permission to give them some advice or to just tell them about an experience you had that might be helpful for them. Mm-hmm. If they say, no, I really don't want to listen to it right now. Okay. All right. If you try to force it, it's not going to be good. But most of the time, I think most kids will say, okay, sure. And then share with them, but allowing them to see some of the mistakes you've made.
Interesting.
Be willing to share, you know, when I met somebody, it wasn't a very good relationship, and I could not see what was happening. I could not see I was being manipulated. I could not see I was being lied to, and until my friends were telling me, well, you know, why are you dating that guy? He's not very good for you. And I didn't listen. I didn't listen. And these are some of the things that happened because I didn't listen. If you get down and dirty with your kids and talk about those things that hurt you, mm-hmm. I think that can go a long ways rather than, you know, you got to do this or make sure that you're doing that. Promise me that you'll do this. I don't think those types of statements are half as successful as when you just share with them your experiences and then say, I just wanted you to be aware of that. And if you ever want to, if you ever think you've encountered something similar to that, let me know, because mm-hmm. I'd like to hear what you have to say about it, you know, or whatever.
Right. But, I mean, communication is really key, right? And that's the bottom line. Yeah. You know, they just want to be heard. They do. They just want, I often will tease, parents have called me while the child is still in their belly when they're pregnant and ask, when is a good time to start planning for college? And I always enjoy that because I'm like, that parent cares a lot. Like, here's a parent who really doesn't want to mess up. Mm-hmm. At first, I was taken back going, wow, that's crazy. But then I thought, well, they value education. They value parenting. I have to meet them where they're at. And as soon as I changed my mindset, I was able to help them to understand the importance of when you're doing bath time, instead of being on your phone, put your phone inside a magazine or a book so the child thinks that you're reading, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or, you know, or actually, you know, singing or whatever that is. Children are sponges and they want to be just like their parents. And then they don't, as teenagers, they want to be just not like their parents. And the beauty of understanding where they're coming from, I think helps to guide and mold that communication. So let's talk about if we have a student who is like, just tell me what I got to do. I'll do it. You know, sky's the limit. There's nothing too challenging. And you're now a parent who is a little worried that they're not sleeping at night. They're overwhelmed. They're stressed out. They're anxious. That is a new reel that's been going on in the world is I'll get a student on a call and they're like, their shoulders are to their ears and they're just a nervous wreck. And how do we help support that student?
I think we ask questions. I think we say, do you like feeling this stress?
Mm.
What do you feel like this is doing to you, or is it affecting other areas of your life because you're stressed out about this?
Right.
I think by asking questions and listening to their responses are going to help you to know how you can help them if they want to be helped. And again, I think we have to ask permission. Once our kids reach a certain age and they are gaining a little bit of independence here and there, we have to be willing to allow them the opportunity to say yes or no to mm-hmm. what we are asking of them or what we're requesting of them. That doesn't mean that we have to give them complete freedom, but then it allows us to say, to outline some consequences. Okay, if you want to, or if you're going to choose to do this by 9 o'clock tonight, then I appreciate that. What kind of consequences should I put in place if that's not done by 9? What do you think would be fair? You know, mm-hmm. if you aren't able to get that done, or what happens if you're not able to get that done? Will you come to me and let me know, Mom, I need another half an hour, or whatever the case might be? I think we need to give them more opportunity to decide themselves what's their next step, be there to support them like they were when they were babies. You know, we couldn't walk for them. We had to let them fall down. We had to let them bump their heads. We had to let them cry a little bit as they were learning to walk. And I think as we're sending them off into that next phase of life, we have to think about that the same way. We can't take all the pain away. Mm. We can't take away the consequences, but we can help them see how the consequences came about in that regard. But always give them the choice. Would you like to sit down with me for a minute? I have something to talk to you about. Would that be okay? Okay.
Yeah.
If they say no, you have to honor that in that moment. Well, when would be a good time that you and I could sit down and chat for a minute. Mm-hmm. Give them an option to give you a time. And so that's what I'm saying is we need to allow them some freedom at this point. That's going to help to build some trust and confidence if we stop forcing. Nope, I need to talk to you right now. You know, that kind of thing. When, you know, they've got their own thing. Maybe they've got it, get something done, or maybe they're waiting for an important phone call from a teacher or somebody, and they really literally don't have time to talk with you right now. And you're going to make them feel bad or miss something. And now there's one more thing they can blame you for, which, you know, that kids tend to do. It's like, oh, I didn't get that done. Well, it's because you know, that's pretty common too. So give them more freedoms, I think. Ask more questions rather than speaking at them all the time. Mm-hmm. Ask them questions. How are you feeling about that? Well, what would you think you'd have to do to feel differently? Or what could you give up so that you aren't so stressed out? Mm-hmm. What could I help you with so mm-hmm. that you can get this done and that done too? Is there something I can do to help you with that? Mm-hmm. Asking questions is so important at this phase, because they need to feel like they can make their choices. Mm-hmm. And then when the consequences come, you know, there was a time when my son was out there and he was out of the house and he was making some really bad choices. I was praying that, oh my goodness, please help him make better choices. And I realized that's really not working, because no one can make choices for him, right? So I changed my prayers to, when he does make a choice, good or bad, please make the consequences show up immediately. Mm-hmm. So I can identify, if I do this, this is going to happen. If I don't do that, that's not going to happen. So I started to change my prayer. Mm-hmm. That don't help him make good choices. That it's not what that was wrong, but I started to realize that's not helpful, because what he really needed was to identify quickly the consequences of every choice he was making, so that he would know how to make those good choices again and how to avoid the bad choices again. And so as parents, I think we need to do that. Help your kids to identify the consequences of their own choices. But if you're never giving them choices, they're not going to learn that. Till it's too late, or until they get into college, and then someone else is going to be teaching them, and maybe it's a completely different value system that they're going to be taught at that point. So
that is all so incredibly interesting. I went from being this parent thinking, well, I don't want to be their best friend, to this parent over here that, you know what, it's time for, I just heard all of these parents talking all over the place, and I'm like, yeah, no, if we just go with the foundation of respect, right? Mm-hmm. I respect you, you respect me. With respect, we have to ask, which is that question that you're raising, is, can we talk about this now? If not, then when?
Right.
I talk to a lot of students about their future, their career, right? Because college, we say, is a stepping stone to their freedom and their future. When we talk about careers, I ask the student what is important for their future. They don't know.
Yeah.
Not like they're not telling you. They really don't know. There's nothing in high school that says adulting 101, right? Not even in college. Yeah. And so we spend a lot of time in our program helping the students to figure out what is important to them, because if money is not a motivator and you're offering them an allowance, you're not speaking their language.
Right.
Right. If freedom is a motivator and they want freedom, that might be a better motivator. So really getting clear. I remember years ago when my oldest was younger, he was a teenager, and I thought I knew him well. Really well.
Of course.
I really did. I thought, oh, I'm a good parent. I know exactly my son. Da, da, da. And a friend of mine challenged me, and she said, you know what, Shelly? Write down on a piece of paper how you think he feels loved. I'm like, no problem. I've got that. I'm his mom. I know how he feels loved. And so I wrote it down, and she said, put it in an envelope and just set it to the side. And now go and ask your child, does this make you feel loved? Absolutely. He did not match at all what I thought. I thought me saying, attaboy, good job, way to persevere, words of encouragement or affirmation, I thought was his motivator. No. It was acts of service. So when he got an A, I would make his bed that day. He got lots of A's. I'm like, this is crazy. I'm like, I'm not teaching you I want to make your bed, but now we're speaking the same language, which allows us to communicate. Right. Because I thought he wasn't responsive or grateful to my kind words. I'm like, well, I'm going to stop doing that because that you're just not being very, you know, receiving. And then all I had to do was to show him that I was proud of him. Little things, making him his favorite meal or the tiniest little thing, really. And what a world it opened up. So
absolutely.
I can absolutely see that in your world of helping these families and in communication, what might a family do if they have older, over 18, young adults? I've been hearing this a lot lately. I have a lot of transfer students that we work with.
Mm-hmm.
And the parents are frustrated now because they've gotten out of high school and they have no plan, no vision, no strategy. They're just kind of living in the moment day in, day out. Now they're an adult, right? Is it the same kind of conversation? How do you approach that now that it's an adult to adult thing, but they are still living in your home?
Yeah, I think it's the same type of questions. Hey, are you happy with what's happening right now? Are you happy with your schedule during the day? Is there something else you'd rather be doing? Why aren't you doing that? Or if there's something else you'd rather do, what are the steps that you think will take to get you there? I mean, if they're still living at home and they're adults, kids, and they don't seem to be contributing much. First of all, there could be some medical or mental issues, perhaps, that need to be addressed. Sometimes environments will affect behavior of ourselves and our children. So it might be good to talk with someone who wouldn't be familiar with that. Like maybe there's some mold or something in the house. Sometimes mold, as silly as that sounds, can actually cause some mental issues happening with people where they don't think straight, or they have, you know, a mild, consistent headache that creates this constant tension, and they aren't making good decisions because they're not thinking straight. So you could look at those types of things too, but conversation is also going to help with that in trying to determine possibly what does motivate this person. What would they like to see themselves doing in a year?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what would they, if they had the best day of their life, what would it look like?
Mm.
And if you ask them questions like that, you might get some information about, well, I'd rather just be fishing all day. I'd rather be sitting on the lake and fishing, which is something my son would say. So you go, okay, well, what's going to allow you to do that? Because fishing all day, unless you are a fisherman and you're working for some sort of company catching fish and then selling them to a company, you're not going to necessarily be able to afford a place to live, not even a cabin by the water if you don't do something else. So if that's what you want to do, then let's figure out what kind of money you can make doing a job that will be, you know, fun and give you some semblance of joy while you work on saving money to get to that position where you can just fish all day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if that's what you want, then let's figure out how that can happen. But unfortunately, we're going to have some job that's going to allow us that lifestyle at some point, right? And so by having those types of conversations and asking those types of questions, I think you'll be able to find some advice that you can give to them. But I think it's really important that they figure it out. Because there is a point when they are adults and you're an adult and now you're a peer to them, even though you're still their parent and always will be, giving advice to an adult child is not always easy. Again, you have to ask for their permission. Mm-hmm. Hey, can I tell you something I think might work for you? Can I share that with you? Mm-hmm. And if they say, no, I don't really want to hear it right now. All right. Well, let me know, you know, mm-hmm. but I would like to see you out and about doing something that you feel a little bit better about. So let me know what that could be. And if you need my support, I'm here for you, you know. Conversation is everything, and working with, you know, some kids that are fostered, it's when they go to a new family, the conversations that happen are really what make the child feel welcome or not. Mm. It's not going by the rules. You know, this is your room. This is what you can and can't do. It's not those types of things that helps them feel at home. Mm-hmm. It's the conversations that ensue that help them realize someone cares about what I think, someone mm-hmm. cares about my feelings, and someone cares about my motivations and what I like to do and what I don't. And so conversation is everything. It truly mm. is.
Yeah.
And kids, when they learn how to do that effectively, it really gives them a sense of self value. That's not even the right word, but a sense of self empowerment to be able to take charge in those uncomfortable social situations that we all find ourselves in. But they'll be able to contribute in their own way. And that's a good feeling when you can do that.
What a great resource, Jackie. Well, if the listener either may be thinking, I am not a good communicator and I don't know if I can do this work, or they may be thinking, I'm a great communicator and my child's not a good communicator. How can they reach out to you if they wanted to figure out if your program was a good fit for them?
Thank you for that. Yes, I can be found with every possible way to learn about me at JackieBailey360.com. JackieBailey360.com. That is a hub for our nonprofit website. It's a hub for all of my social media connections. And it's a hub for some of the videos about our programs and find out what our mission is, and also how to take a look at the courses that we have coming up. We do have courses for high school kids through adult. In fact, we are in the middle of a workshop right now where a mother and daughter are taking it together. She's in high school, daughter's in high school. And it has been so fabulous for them because they've learned so much about each other, and they have heard each other's powerful messages now. Mm-hmm. And so they have this more heartfelt relationship because there's greater understanding. And I've had dating couples and married couples also in our workshops together. And they say, this is kind of like therapy. But I will say that even if just the adult or just the child is taking the course, I've seen the dynamic of a family change mm-hmm. when even just the child learns better communication skills. It's best if both are working, you know, toward the same end. But even if just the child has developed those more powerful skills, it changes the dynamic of the family. And parents have told me that. Absolutely.
I love what you're doing. I love what you're doing. Thank you so much. I also wanted to remind the listeners that if you are feeling confident that your student and yourself is ready for college, or if you're feeling like, I'm not sure if we're ready for college, remember to always, you can go to our website, collegereadyplan.com/quiz, and take a fun little quiz to figure out, am I ready? In there is also a communication element where we can circle back. And if we need to invite Jackie into our world, that is always an option. So thank you so much for being our guest, and we look forward to keeping in touch.
Thank you, Shelley. I really appreciate it. And I wish the best for everyone listening. It's a great time of life.
Thanks for listening to Parents, Is Your Teen College Ready? With Shelley Howard. Make sure to check the show notes for our expert guests' contact information, links, and more details on how to get Shelley's free best-selling book, How to Send Your Student to College Without Losing Your Mind or Your Money. Thanks again for listening.